Auburn just keeps on winning in the portal.
In a world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Fine.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's episode 36 of the Top Button Podcast. We're buttoned up, we're flattened out, and we're ready to talk about this massive addition in the portal. Auburn just keeps winning in the portal. You can't stop them. 4-for-4, knocking it out of the park, and then you add a franchise-type wide receiver, the best receiver available in the spring portal, and the momentum just keeps going. So we're going to get after that in just a little bit and talk about who this benefits the most in the offense, in my opinion. But before we do that, we got to give a shout-out to our boy, Ford Stokes. He's launched a television show, Retirement Results. You can catch it if you're in Huntsville. You can catch it at 10:30 a.m. on Sundays on WXTX, I believe, WZDX in Huntsville. And then in Columbus, Georgia at 8:30 on Sundays, WXTX. So got those two crossed up. But if you want to see hear what Ford's got to say before you give him a shout, you can check him out on his television show that's just launched. They also upload all of the shows. If you've missed a few, you want to go back, they upload them to retirementresults.com. Get an idea of what he's got going on and how he can benefit you. And then you need to reach out and talk to him. I know, again, I said it on Tuesday, he's fired up about these portal additions. He's got to be mega fired up about landing Keandre Lambert Smith. So give him a shout, Ford Stokes, Active Wealth Management. Well, guys, Auburn goes out and gets the best wide receiver in the portal. I mean, there's not much else you can say. The best wide receiver that's available in the portal, Auburn targeted him early, got him in on a visit, and landed him. He did take another visit to Texas A&M. I think it was back and forth. And I'm going to be honest, I think he was pretty much leaning towards Texas A&M up until maybe just hours before his decision, hours before he flipped to Auburn. And there's no doubt about that. There was some NIL involved, and there was some just overall hardcore recruiting going back and forth. And I think that everything that surrounds bringing this guy to Auburn kind of pushed Auburn over the edge to say, yes, we need to, yes, we need to push for this guy. We need to bring this guy in. We had to have somebody else on the edge, on the outside, to be able to free up all the other weapons. And this guy's the guy. I mean, you're going to hear a lot of Penn State talking about, you know, I'm sure you're going to hear some negativity, or maybe not negativity, but you're going to hear some stuff, you know, downplaying how good he was. But the bottom line is, he was Penn State's leading receiver last year. This is not a G5, you know, flash in the pan. You know, this is not a one-hit wonder. This is a guy that's played 4 years. He's had good success at least the last 3 years. And he was Penn State's leading receiver in a Power 5 conference on a team that won 10 games. He is a prototype, you know, outside receiver. He's not going to be, you know, your big bruiser that's going to catch, break tackles and stuff like that. But he's shifty. He's quick. He's able to get open. It's just another weapon that we don't have. And he's kind of a different type wide receiver too. He's not really, you know, it's not like you're not going to find a carbon copy of Cam Coleman out there, but you can find a good, solid, veteran, shifty wide receiver that you can put out there and really be a weapon, really be able to create separation. His highlight film, it's really good because he shows the ability to do a lot of different things. So it's not just beating people deep. He can do that. He had a long touchdown, I believe, in the Rose Bowl against Utah, 88 yards. So he has the ability to go 80. He has the ability to take a slant across the middle and hit the seam and go. He has the ability to do the jump ball. You know how I love fades. There's plenty of film of him going up top and beating a guy one-on-one for fades. So He's got a little bit of everything. Great hands. His catch to target ratio is elite. He does not drop a lot of passes. And, you know, when you have a quarterback that's at times maybe had accuracy issues, I don't know how much that's like 100% accurate, but regardless, that's the narrative. So if he can put it in the area of this guy, I feel like he's got a really good chance to bring it down. So cannot stress how big this addition is and how important this is. And I got a take on this that I haven't really heard people talk about, but I think it's important to bring him in. Number one, just because you targeted him and you got him, but I think you really need this guy to be good. And the reason being is because as aggressive as a recruiter as Hugh is, it's really hard, I think, for coaches like Hugh that are a little bit more old school, they're a little bit more high school, build, this transition into going and having to compete for, you know, big money to get these portal guys in. I think it's hard for coaches like that. I think it's hard for coaches to say, golly, I don't know. I think I'd rather choose culture or rather go to high school than going out and spending big money to bring in guys like this. And I think there's been times where he's been burned. You know, you go out and you get a guy like Justin Rogers and you have to, you know, go out and pay the big bucks to get somebody like that. And he comes in and he's sort of a bust, you know, sort of has that entitlement attitude when he comes in. He's got big money. And there's a couple of other guys that you've feel like, I mean, I guess you could even, you know, maybe lump Peyton Thorne in there at this point in time. I still think he's going to have a good year, but there's times where I feel like Hugh has probably felt burned by taking a leap of faith. And if you do it again, because you know, if the number one quarterback, I'm sorry, the number one wide receiver available in the portal, and you're going up against Texas A&M, you know that NIL played a huge role in this. You know it had to, because you know NIL, that Texas A&M's got plenty of money to spend. So much so they're firing people on their staff so they can have more money to pay kids, or preparing to pay kids. So you know when you get in that battle, it's going to be a, you know, an NIL showdown. So I think we really need this guy to be who we think he is, because if you have another bust of a guy that you went and spent big money in, I just think that's going to leave a bit of a bad taste of the portal in Hugh's mouth. And, you know, you may get to a point where if you get into a battle like that and it's a, you know, a money deal, you may look elsewhere and not try to go get necessarily the top players. And, you know, I'm just saying, I think this guy needs to be good. So if you go out and you get this guy, you get the leading receiver from a Power 5 team, he needs to be good. That way you can kind of – it's kind of – you know, we always talk about proof of concept. It's proof that, you know, not every time can it be a bust. You can go out and you can make yourself better and you can spend more to get those quality players, and they can produce. So I don't think we have anything to worry about. I think this kid's good and he's been consistently good. So I'm looking forward to seeing him on campus. I'm looking forward to seeing him get here. I love his game. He looks a lot like he's kind of got the size and the shiftiness. He kind of looks a lot like a Jameson Williams from Alabama. I don't know if you remember him from a couple of years ago. He probably doesn't have quite the top end speed that Jameson has, but as far as the route runner and ability to accelerate, they do, in their body size, body type looks a lot the same. So, you know, at 6 foot, 6'1", 185-ish pounds, 190 pounds, not overly big, but still loves to be aggressive and mix it up. And he can, you know, he can run by you or he can run around you. So I love the addition of Keandre Lambert-Smith to this offense. It's just massive. It's massive to be able to go out and get one of the top guys available. Bigger point. And I kind of touched on this. We were 3 for 3. We were 3 for 3. You know, when you add the two defensive linemen and then the edge over the last 48 hours, and now you add your wide receiver. You didn't even bring anybody else really in to visit. You had some guys scheduled to visit, but you really didn't even bring anybody in else to visit. So we didn't have like a lot of bait in the water. We didn't have a lot of lines in the water. We just had these four guys that we wanted, and we went and we got them. I think I don't want to continue to repeat myself from the last show, but I can't stress enough how much organization matters, how much this whole off-field player personnel deal that we've put together. I can't stress enough how much this matters, and this is just more proof of concept to be able to, target these guys, to basically analyze and break down film on these guys and make sure that they fit what we're trying to do. And then you can't not take the money perspective into play, the NIL perspective into play, and fit how that budget works with everything else. So the organization matters, the portal opened, and you picked out four guys and you went and got them. Now, one thing I want to take into consideration is this is the spring portal. Okay. So a lot of teams loaded up in the first portal period in December. Okay. You don't really see Ole Miss going out. You know, they're a big portal team. You don't really see Ole Miss going out and getting a ton of guys because they got a lot of their guys already. So you do have to take that into consideration. So what was the demand pool out there? Okay. What were other teams that we compete with? How much of those really needed to add players? Was this a organizational thing? I think it was a lot of the organizational thing. And I think a lot of it also was it's spring portal. So the competition for a lot of these guys is down just a little bit. So I don't want to completely bug out. I do think it's fantastic, but I think you do have to kind of be a little bit, pump your brakes a little bit because, when that December portal opens up, that's when the sharks are swarming. That's when everybody's trying to go get guys. So let's see how this plays out. Let's see how these guys perform. And then in December, I think we could be in for a lot of fun because you're going to have that much longer to analyze what you need. You're going to have that much longer to analyze who's going to be out there. And then we'll see how it goes. It's just so much fun, and from the portal to like see guys pop up, and then you get them, You're not scrounging the bottom of the barrel. You're going out and getting the guys that you want, and that's huge. That's huge. Portal losses. That's another thing. Retention has been pretty incredible. Retention, I'm sort of shocked at how well it's been because, and on top of the fact that you're bringing in a lot of guys that will play over some of the younger guys that you've brought in. So you're bringing in a lot of senior defensive linemen that are going to play over a lot of these younger guys that you've brought in. So, but you haven't really lost anybody. You bring in a Keandre Lambert-Smith and you really haven't lost, a guy like Cam Brown or a guy like Caleb Burton or Coy Moore yet. You could, but you sort of played the game well there. And I don't think Cam Brown's going anywhere. I think he's kind of made that clear. He's ready to, he's ready to compete, which that's awesome. You got those three guys now that they compete against each other on the outside with Cam Coleman, Cam Brown, and Keandre Lambert-Smith. So, retention is big. You have lost a few, but you haven't. I feel like Colton Hood may be the one that hurts the most from the future aspect. He would have played this year. He would have contributed. He would not have been a starter. He could have maybe eventually worked his way into the starting lineup, but he wants to go try to find a place to start right now. And I think a lot of it has to do with he's also going to go try to find a place where his brother can go with him. So that's something that, maybe a family deal. They want to play together, whatever. I get it. I wish him the best. You thought you were going to lose Tyler Scott. I don't think it's 100% over with him yet. It kind of went out there that he was going to enter the portal, and I don't know that that's the case anymore. I think he may have kind of retracted his name, or at least we'll see, that I think that maybe the maybe he stays at Auburn, which I think is a huge deal. I mean, this is a that's a kid, another one of those 6 foot, 200 pound clone DBs that you have, young guys that can play, that can absolutely play. And I think he's possibly saved. So we'll have to watch, you know, how that goes. I just don't feel like you really lost anybody that you're just looking at and saying, man, that's gonna leave a mark. That's tough. I think everybody that you've lost so far, either A, we're still a few years away from playing, or B, we're really never going to play. So I hate to see probably the two that I hate to see the most was Colton Hood and Jay Fair, just because, you know, Jay Fair, I think, has a lot of talent, and I think he'll probably be pretty good somewhere. But I like Jay Fair mostly because he's been through so much at Auburn. He stuck through, you know, a lot of garbage coaching, a lot of garbage, you know, organization, and kind of made his way out on the other end. So he's been been pretty loyal to Auburn. So obviously, you got to wish him luck. So Colton Hood and Jay Fair are really the biggest ones that you've lost that you're like, man, I'd love to have them on this team this year and definitely moving forward. But other than that, retention's been incredible. You know, you go out there and acquire talent, but you got to keep your talent too. So regardless, the organization that we have right now, I think is fantastic. I think that, you know, on both sides of the fence, acquiring and keeping you're at an elite level right now. And that stuff benefits you big time. Moving forward and kind of holding together the culture, holding together the team. So I'm excited to see where this thing goes. I think we got a few more days, closes on Tuesday. There could be some guys that pop that go from Auburn that leave in the next couple of days. If I had to guess, I'm assuming it's got to be one of these wide receivers will probably go, and then who Auburn adds, I don't know. I'm probably going to be a defensive back. You got to add at least one, I would imagine. And then if you lose a wide receiver, you may look at adding another wide receiver. But I would say if a name pops up and visits, you better feel pretty confident you're going to land him, because you just went 4 for 4. So that's pretty much the telling part of the portal. If the guy's going to visit, there's a good chance he's going to end up at Auburn. So let's watch and see what happens over the weekend there. But you got to be excited. Got to be excited about what we got going right now. This team is looking a whole lot more, more of a threat. You know, more of a threat. I think you raised your floor. And we're going to talk in just a second about who I think this offense benefits the most, who I think the offense benefits the most, and then maybe look at possible, like, what you've done as far as an outlook for 2024. But before we do that, we got to give a shout out to plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON. Button it up. Take 10% off. Stop shopping at the big box stores. Stop wasting your money on this just old, flavorless coffee. Go ahead and get you some freshly ground coffee the days before it ships, instead of just sitting in a bucket, basically, an old plastic bucket for months. This stuff's coming to you freshly ground in a bag. You can smell it from the mailbox, ready to come. There's a roast. There's something for everybody on this site. And then if you don't like coffee, they have tea too. So if you're a tea guy or tea gal, I like a good tea. I like a good hot tea every now and then. So they got that for you too. So check it out. Plainscoffee.com. Use coupon code BUTTON. So who does this benefit the most? This edition, obviously, the easy answer is Peyton Thorne. You know, Peyton Thorne, you've added another receiver to the offense that is a legitimate threat. Now you have three legitimate SEC wide receivers. You got Cam Coleman, Robert Lewis, and you got Keandre Lambert-Smith. So adding three legit SEC wide receivers, you feel like, has got to help Peyton Thorne the most. But I got a little bit outside of the box. I kind of mentioned it on Zach's show, but I think this benefits Rivaldo Fairweather more than anybody in this whole offense, okay? It doesn't even take a elite wide receiver. It just takes a semi-threat. If you have a really good tight end and you can have somewhat of a threat on the outside, a tight end can be like just gold, diamonds. It can be invaluable because they can eat up space in the middle, and you're going to get terrible matchups. You're going to get terrible matchups. You're going to get linebackers. You're going to get safeties on tight ends. And then you add in a tight end that can run. You got a even bigger mismatch. And then you got a tight end who's 6'5", 250 pounds and chiseled out of marble, like my man Rivaldo. You got even a bigger advantage. Then you throw on top of that that the dude can go up and beat you one-on-one, and he's athletic and he's not running like a box. This is a guy that's basically an oversized wide receiver. You're talking about an even bigger mismatch. It doesn't take much. You know, Georgia did not really have I don't feel like Georgia really had a massive, you know, all-star, big-time wide receiver. They had some good guys, but it doesn't take all-stars to be able to free up tight ends, especially when you have a tight end like Brock Bowers. Now, you throw in a guy like Rivaldo Fairweather. I'm not saying he is Brock Bowers level, but he's been – even last year, he was mock draft in this draft as a mid-round pick. So if he's able to, you know, sort of replicate what he did last year, where he was basically the only threat you had at receiver. he was basically your only deep threat. He was basically your only passing threat whatsoever. Now you surround him with dudes that are legitimate threats. Look out. I'm telling you that this guy is going to have a monster season. He may still be the leading receiver, and not because, like last year, he's the only guy that can make plays. The only guy that can catch the ball in traffic. He may be the leading receiver because of the threat that all these other guys pose. I mean, I really think Rivaldo Fairweather is going to have – last year was a breakout season. I think this year is going to be even bigger. I mean, just imagine him on one side with a Keandre Lambert, or just imagine him on one side with a Cam Coleman. You know, what do you do? Well, especially when you have the other guys on the other side, how do you defend that? Who do you put on him? If you take a DB out of coverage to put on him, that just frees up that receiver. If you put a linebacker on him, he's going to get beat. If you put a safety on him, he's probably going to get beat. So I'm just elated at being able to surround Rivaldo, because I still think he's the factor of this offense. He's the game changer of this offense. And then on top of everything, it's going to really help. I mean, again, we said the easy answer is Peyton Thorne. I think Peyton Thorne's probably like three on the list. Rivaldo's number one. Insert running back name is number two. Okay. Insert running back name, because when you can throw the ball and you can back teams off the line, you can pound people in the running game. And Hugh is a guy that wants to run the ball 40 to 50% of the time. So if you have a legitimate passing attack now, which last year you basically, like I said, you had Fairweather and maybe some one receiver route type stuff, and you had to run the ball, and you had to run Peyton Thorne a lot. And now you have the ability to stretch the field. You have the ability to back the defense off the line of scrimmage. I think you just insert running back. Whoever's in there will benefit when these guys are on the field. And you're starting to see the makings of a legitimate offensive threat. I think you really are. I'm not trying to oversell. I think we're still going to have obviously some struggles. I think Peyton's the best. I think the Peyton's the best we have. I think there's some things that he's just limited in. But I think he's also good enough to be able to distribute the ball like he did in A-Day at 65-ish%. If you can just get it in the area of these dudes, I think they can make plays. And I think that's just going to benefit the whole thing. I think you're going to be a really competitive offense. And what I really think is, over the last 3 or 4 days, Auburn has essentially raised the floor of what to expect from this season. As far as like if all the things go wrong, I think you've raised the floor on what the record could be. I would say you probably have probably have added at least one or one and a half wins to your schedule based off these guys. And that's on the low end. That's on the low end. So, I mean, you got a defensive line rotation that you feel good about, and your defensive line room and your wide receiver room are really the two places you were most worried. And Robert Lewis has been a hit. Keandre Lambert is, you know, again, you're bringing in a P5 leading receiver from another team. So he's obviously not a guarantee, but you feel good about him. And then Cam Coleman obviously is a hit. And then you got Rivaldo Fairweather. So your receiving room you feel really good about is miles better than it was last year. And your defensive line rotation, you feel like the room in general and the ability and the options that you have there are better. And those were the two things that you felt like if you don't add anything, you could be at a six win, you know, 6-6 again. But you kind of feel like you've, with all your additions, you've maybe raised that to a 7 or maybe an even 8 win floor. You got a very manageable schedule. You got a really good chance to come out of the gate 4 or 5-0 before you play. I think you play Georgia. So you got a really good chance. And then you all you got to do is pick off, you know, 2 or 3 of the end to get to that 8 wins, which I think would be a phenomenal turnaround from year 1 to year 2. But really, if those guys get hot, who knows? We'll have to see. I mean, you got some very beatable teams on your schedule. And then you got a couple of teams. Obviously, you got to go on the road to Tuscaloosa and on the road to Georgia. And those are going to be tough. Georgia's going to be just elite again. And then we'll have to see what Alabama has. I think they're going to be elite on offense and struggle a little bit on defense. So if you get over there and you can move the ball on them and control the clock, who knows what will happen? Who knows what will happen? We haven't had a lot of success in Tuscaloosa in the last, you know, since I guess 2010. But, you know, that whole dynamic has changed too with Nick Saban being gone. So it's not the same Alabama. But a lot of good things to go. I think you're looking at maybe another defensive back, possibly. Not really sure who that'll be. I know the older Fagans is out there that you could add. And then if a receiver leaves, I think you may look to add one more because that would leave you scarily thin a little bit in that wide receiver room. But other than that, I don't know if there's a whole lot more you need to add. There's been some more defensive line names pop up. It's hard to imagine how you could add another defensive lineman. There's been a few interior offensive linemen that would be depth guys mentioned, but nobody's scheduled for a visit. And again, like I said earlier, you got to watch for those visits because if somebody's visiting, you feel pretty confident that's who we've targeted and that's who we're going to get. So this next weekend is going to be action-packed because it's the last weekend. It's the last weekend of the portal. By Tuesday, they have to be in the portal. So any names from Auburn that are going to leave, they got to make up their mind pretty quick. Any new names that want to pop into the portal that Auburn would be interested in, they would have to make up their mind pretty quick as well. So let's see what happens. We'll just have to, but you got to feel good about whatever happens. You should feel good about it because we got the organization in place to go fill our needs. If we see fit, if we feel like we need some other guys, we got the folks to go get it done. So I'm fired up. I know you're fired up. This was fun. This was a fun recruitment to watch. This was a fun battle that we came out on top against a team that you feel like if it gets into an NIL issue, you know, you're behind the eight ball. And we stepped it up and we got it done. And Hugh let those guys go and get it done. So that's a big deal. We need him to be good. I think he will be good, and we'll hopefully make some noise in 2024. You've become a lot more competitive over the last 4 days. So I know y'all enjoyed it, and I enjoyed it as well. So thanks for listening. Y'all have a great weekend. I'll keep you in the loop, and we'll chat back on Tuesday. This is episode 36 of the Top Button Podcast. Like this video, subscribe to this channel, and follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. Y'all have a great weekend. Stay buttoned and, War Eagle.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.